Hello, beautiful alchemist. Welcome to Reiki Radio. I am your host, Yolanda, and I hope that you had a gorgeous weekend. Today, we are going to start our Monday off with a conversation with a woman named Erica Robinson. She is an author. Her book is called The Language of Lenormand, A Practical Guide for Every Divination. And I just want to say, over the years, of course, we've had many discussions about different divination systems and tools. Of course, when I came out with my Oracle deck, we talked about that quite a bit. There are other methods and ways we have talked about systems that support us in being in relationship with our intuition or receiving guidance from our higher mind, higher intelligence. And it's one of those things that I always say, I think is so important for us to learn how to be in communication with. Now, Lenormand is a system I have heard of before. I actually have a Lenormand deck that I had never opened prior to scheduling this interview with Erica. And once she and I were scheduled, I purchased her deck, which is a beautiful deck. And I purchased her book, The Language of Lenormand. And it really gave me a different perspective, not just on this particular system or these particular cards, but on reading in general. Now, Erica was a teacher. She gives this beautiful insight in language and simplicity to the art of divining, but also really breaking down the simplicity of how all of us can read and storytell in working with cards. And how all of this really does reveal aspects of information from our higher selves, our higher consciousness, whether we are reading for ourselves or others. So, this is a much needed guide to the increasingly popular divination system. And widely respected authority, Erica Robinson believes that Lenormand is not just a deck of cards, but also a language that, if mastered, can help us achieve self-empowerment and the ability to attain the lives we desire. She is a longtime English teacher, and she helps readers become more fluent in the language of Lenormand. This clearly written, accessible guide to the meanings of each card requires no prior knowledge of Lenormand, but is simultaneously a sophisticated book that takes Lenormand to the next level, providing greater insights for those already familiar with it. So, whether you are familiar with the system or not, I think you will find a lot of value in the conversation that we have. She is definitely a fun spirit, very lively, and a beautiful storyteller, which you will see. But I'm sure there are pieces of what she shares that will inspire you, again, regardless if you are familiar with the system or not. So, if you want to learn more about Erica and her work, you can visit her website, Lenormand with Erica. That's Erica with a K, .com. Or follow her on Instagram at divine underscore with me. The links for her website and ways to contact her are down in the show description. She is also a writer and has a Substack blog, and she is an award-winning blogger. So you can also check out her blog at ericalenormand.substack.com. Her blog is called In the Company of Cards. So that is all for now, my loves. I hope you enjoy this conversation, and I will see you on the other side. Hey, everyone, welcome to this episode of Reiki Radio with the beautiful guest, Erica Robinson, who is the author of The Language of Lenormand, as well as this beautiful deck that we will get into. I just want to first thank you for taking time to come have this conversation with us today.
Thank you for having me. Thrilled to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have to tell you, Lenormand is a area of study that I've been curious about for years, but one of those things that I was like, do I, what? I don't know if I fully understand this. And your book clarified a lot. So, before we get into it, I do want to first ask you about your work, your path, how you got to where you are right now. Have you always been drawn to anything within the realm of spirituality, especially divination?
So, I think probably the answer to have I always been drawn would probably be yes. I will say that I even have a master's of divinity degree. I thought I was going to become a priest in the Episcopal Church. This is back in the 80s in the Boston area because I was at Harvard. And so you have to jump a lot of hoops. You do the coursework, but then there's this whole ordination track that you have to go through. So I had to meet with this committee, and every question that they asked me was race related. And how good a priest could you be to me, a white woman? And I said, well, I guess about as good a priest as you would allow me to be. Well, I met with the bishop after that meeting, and he said, Erica, there's no question but that we need you as a priest in this church. So I thought to myself, one more hurdle, right? He said, the question is, do we want you? Are we ready for you? Come back in 2 years. And I said, you know, there's an expression I've heard called being a fool for Christ. I don't know what it means, but whatever, that's fine. Here's what I'm not going to be. I'm not going to be a fool for this church. So I won't be back in 2 years. And I left. I didn't, no shade to God, because I didn't think it was God, it was the institution. You know, Martin Luther King used to say that the 10 o'clock hour was the most, on Sunday was the most segregated hour in the country. And that's true. It still is true. So I put organized religion behind me, and but always considered myself a spiritual person, but not with any particular practice until I became a widow very unexpectedly. And I was just, I mean, I was really thrown. It was in October, and my husband again died suddenly, and I had a 15-year-old, and she went to the same school where I taught. So I decided stupidly, I don't think I would advise this, but you know, grief is a weird thing, that I wanted everything to be normal for us. You know, she didn't want everybody staring at her and being weird, and I certainly didn't. So I wrote a letter to the faculty and I said, you know, please treat us normally. This is a thing. Everyone will walk this path that we're walking, and we're trying to do it with grace and keep ourselves together. So if you could please, okay. Everybody was very moved by what I wrote. Said, can I send it to my mother? Can I send it to my grandmother? I said, sure. But what did it do? Essentially, it set me up as this figure who didn't really need anyone or anything to get through this experience, right? But I am human like everyone else. So I started to read tarot. I became pretty good at tarot. And then a friend just happened to be passing around a Lenormand deck. Didn't know what it was. She didn't know what it was. The friend didn't know what it was. But I said, could I see that? And I took it and I never gave it back. What I discovered about Lenormand was that it was that 3 a.m. friend for me, right? It was the kind of, people say this about tarot. They say, oh, tarot doesn't like that kind of question. I've always thought that was very strange because it pretty much is cardboard with ink on it. So what are you talking about? Or they'll say things like, don't ask the same question over and over and over again. Okay, Lenormand doesn't is not like that. You can ask Lenormand the same question 10 times, and what will it do? It will very gently give you the same answer, but 10 different ways. It's like if your mother tells you something and you're like, yeah, okay. But if your best friend says it, oh, well, all of a sudden it's holy grail. That's how Lenormand is. It just gently is insistent and kind and forgiving. So, what happened in terms of metaphysical weird experiences, I got pretty good at Lenormand. Now, there was only one resource in English available. Memorized it, read it cover to cover. In fact, in my book, I thank the person who wrote that book. Her name is Sylvie Steinbach. It's still a great book. It's called The Secrets of the Lenormand Oracle. So I memorized that. There were French resources and I could read French, so that was good. There were German resources, but I didn't read German. So I mean, I just kind of had to make my own way. And one of the spreads, the big spread in Lenormand, involves all 36 cards. Okay. So I had it spread out on my bed and I was reading, and I got kind of teary because I thought, I just can't get this. I don't get it. And I heard a voice in my right ear. Now I'm deaf in my right ear since I had a staph infection when I was an infant. So it's been forever. I heard a voice in my right ear. So the first thing I'm saying is, okay, that's weird. It's my right ear. The second thing that was weird was it was my husband who had passed. Third thing was what he said. So what he said was, Erica, it's not childbirth. And I thought, my God, that's him. And also, what does he know about childbirth? But he said it's not childbirth. So what does that even mean? Well, what is childbirth? Childbirth is, if I had to put two words to it, it's hard work. And if I put another two words to it, it's bearing down. But he said it's not that. And I realized I had done the hard work. I memorized all 36 cards and their numbers. I memorized all of the different spreads that one can do with it. But something was still missing. My readings, I felt, were sort of pedantic and pedestrian and sort of, you know. And he said, it's not childbirth. And I thought, okay, the opposite of bearing down is letting go. And as soon as I got that lesson, my readings, oof, just opened up incredibly. So I was doing this one big spread, and everybody considers it, you know, the big daddy of Lenormand spreads. And I thought, you know, because it's a spread that tells you a little bit about a lot of things. But I said, you know, what if you want to do, nobody ever comes to a reader wanting to know a little bit about a lot of things. As you know, usually they have an area, maybe two, maybe three, of deep concern, right? So can I create a spread where I do a deep dive about a single thing? And I did a riff on the five card and I added some more cards. It's in the book and it is beautiful. Around the world, they love this spread. And they what I love about what I think I've done as a Lenormand reader is shown the Europeans what their oracle is capable of. I don't think they realized it. I think that they knew you could do things like find your keys. You could determine whether or not your outside party was going to get rained on. They thought of it as a very sort of literal oracle, but it's not at all. Because look, you can read a sentence. If you're a little kid and you're first learning to read and you read see, spot, run, you think you're a big deal. In fact, your family may go out and get you a special cake to celebrate that you read this sentence. And you did, that's true. But what you will come to realize is that you can read like Toni Morrison, like Shakespeare, and write that way. So what I've done with this oracle is try to show people all that it can do. It is as deep and rich and powerful as tarot, but on the face of it seems very simple.
Yes. Well, this I want to back up and ask you about because a lot of people, this will be new to them. And interestingly, it's so nice to hear you pronounce it because I just called it Lenormand anytime I've seen it over
That's
these
fine.
years.
Yes.
Okay.
However
I
you
was like,
pronounce
oh
it.
no.
No, you know what? Here's the funny story about the name. So it was named after this woman. Her name was Madame de Lenormand, French. All right. She was a very famous seer and medium of her day. She read for example, Napoleon.
Oh,
Okay.
wow. Okay.
She never read these cards. These cards came essentially after her. So why are they named after her? Marketing device. It
Oh.
started out being a game. The cards were a game that people played. And then morphed into being this divination tool. So if we were in France, we would say Lenormand, because that's how they say it. But here you can say Lenormand, you can say Lenormand. You are not wrong, however you
Oh,
pronounce
okay. Well, I have to ask you this because I do want to get more into the background of it because for some people, this will be their first time hearing about these cards in the system. But it's interesting that when you said, or even made the request of, we want to just be treated normally, you know, like we're grieving, but please don't look at us funny or, you know, treat us any differently than you normally would, that would somehow also equate to like not needing. You know, it's interesting to think that normal means we don't
Exactly.
necessarily need support or we don't need each other. So was it that kind of maybe unintentional isolation that drew you to the cards where you're like, well, I have to talk to someone?
Yes, they became my 3 a.m. friend.
Yeah.
And then what happened was I started to read for other people. Now, of course, I started at work because there were a lot of people at work. And at first they would run the other way when they see me coming with my cards. But then the word started to spread. Wait a minute, she's really good. I had to hide in the bathroom during my breaks and people would still knock on the door. Are you going to read during your lunch? So that was funny. And then I thought, well, okay, but these are my colleagues and my friends and my family. I need to branch out. So what I did was I went into some forums. They were mostly European, I would say, but these forums. And so people all over the world would ask questions. So, for example, somebody from India would say, what does he think about her? Now, my ego wants to say, well, what are we talking about here? You know, is this father, daughter? Is this a love relationship? Is this teacher, student? Is this boss, employee? But that's my ego. They didn't ask my opinion. They asked me to ask the cards. So right. I would pull the cards. And then I would, with my thumbs, I don't know why I didn't do it on the computer, but with my thumbs, I would type long, eloquent, elegant, sort of responses, and people loved them. So I would go on there and I'd say, okay, it's the end of my work day and I'll do 500 people would ask.
Wow.
Or 10, 1,000 people would ask. Well, what I did, and I was doing it for two reasons. One, to sort of build my muscles as a Lenormandist. Two, to help people. Right. Remember, I wanted to be a priest. Right. So
yes.
Or I really wanted to be a doctor, but science and blood and all that. No. So this is my way. This is my healing tool. Right. What I didn't know was that the great cartomancer people of the world watch your work. And so I started to get private messages from people whose names I knew, whose work I had read, saying, you're amazing, keep it up, you're terrific. And I thought, well, that's great. I had no idea, for example, you could make money doing this. That didn't even occur to me in 1,000 years. I have a lot of people come to me saying, how can I quit my job and do this as a full-time gig? Well, I think your orientation is wrong. Your thinking about it is wrong. Right. I do make money doing it now, but that's secondary and has always been to the healing art that it is. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So so that's how my work got known. And then there was a shop in my local area. I lived in New Jersey at the time. And they called and they said, do you want to work here? I burst out laughing. I said, I'm a teacher. And they say, well, aren't you free on the weekends? And I was like, yeah. So they said, come work on the weekends. So I started to work on the weekends. This was a famous shop that had busloads of people coming down from the city every weekend. So I would read 20 people in a day, just boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
And it built my muscles, right? So then I got approached by a publisher, well, Wiser, the publisher, saying, you know, you explain this so well and your readings are so good. Could you write a book? And I thought, well, I could probably do that standing on my head. So I wrote the book. Turned it in 2 weeks early. They didn't have to edit it at all.
Wow.
Well, you know, I did teach English for 30 years, so I should know how to write, right? And so that's where I am today.
I mean, the book was incredible. I honestly, I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. I should say, honestly, I didn't know what to expect. And I've read books on, you know, divination over the years, whether tarot or oracle and these kinds of things, but this was different. And I really want to get into this, but I just have a question, just so curious. Diving in the way that you did, and you keep saying, I was building my muscle. Did you start to notice, was your relationship to reading, was it changing you in some way? And your relationship then with communicating with people, I guess, on a different level? Yeah. How did that change
you? That's a great question. One of the things that I think maybe the thing I most love, if I had to pick one thing, the thing I most love about reading is the fact that every time I read, I'm reminded of our connection to spirit.
Mm.
So I always tell clients this. I say, here's how it works. The Greeks have, and I think I talked about this in the book, they have two terms for the word time. Chronos, time on the clock, time on the calendar, time on the watch. Well, that's the time that you and I live by, right? But there's another kind of time that they call kairos. And if I asked a question above my pay grade when I was a little kid, my mother would say, you'll know in the fullness of time. And I knew that meant not today, Erica, and not tomorrow, but in the fullness of time. And that's kairos. It includes chronos, but it's more than that, right? As human beings, we live in chronos. That's true. But we are connected to spirit. There, we have spirit in us. We are part of spirit. So we'll call it, for the sake of argument, your higher self. So when someone contracts with me for a reading, essentially they're giving me permission to go to the land of Kairos, to open the vault of their higher self's knowledge, and then I bring the information down and I put it on the table in cards, because cards are the mitigating tool. They're the intermediary tool. They're the translation tool of the languages, between the languages of Kronos and Kairos. So it's holy work. And so in this spread that I mentioned that I created, I made sure that I had two lines in the spread that told the sitter, the client, what they already knew, things that had already happened. So at first people would say, well, I already know that, so why are you telling me? And I used to just roll laughing, because I'm like, okay, you knew that. I didn't know that until you gave me permission to have my higher self commune with your higher self. And people's eyes get big, because what does it mean? They now understand how much a part of the process they are. Without them, there's no process. So it's a group project. You don't read a Lenormand card by itself. Lenormand cards like to work together. So it's a team sport, but so is reading a team sport. It's the sitter, it's me, it's our higher selves, it's the cards, and it's spirit.
Okay, this is incredible. Now, I keep thinking, like, I'm pushing out asking about the book because I do. One, of course, it was beautifully written, but it just made so many light bulbs go off, even as someone who has worked with divination for years. I was like, this book is incredible. So I wanted to ask you about that specifically, what the difference is between this and, the way that people may work with tarot, but also, you did mention in there, and I don't remember exactly how you framed it, but it was you spoke about reading the cards in the same way as a child would learn to read a picture book. And it made so much sense. So could you talk a bit about that and why you used so many cards?
Yes. So, what I was drawn to in the system, I think originally at a very base level, was the fact that it's 36 archetypal images, pictures of things that we're all familiar with. Dog, bear, tree, house, right? All words that we're familiar with. And it made me think, oh, it's like reading. Like, what? So how do you read these cards? You put words together, right? And again, you can put words together, see spot run, which is why I have people do a reading from the very first chapter. You've read a line. And in English, teaching of English, we talk about a thing called scaffolding. I mean, and I think every sort of education person would say this. Like, for example, math. Have you ever been in a math class and they explain something, but you don't quite get it, but you don't want to say anything? And now you're 10 miles behind
Behind
everybody
you.
else because you missed that step. That's because things build on each other. So what my goal is to give you a lot of confidence early on, right? And then build, 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 because that's how you would teach somebody to read. Again, you would celebrate that they can read See Spot Run. You celebrate that. And then you, before that, you celebrate the fact that they can sing the alphabet song. That's a big deal. And then you let them in on a little secret, which is if you just mix up those letters, you can make words. And you can put DOG and it's dog, but guess what? You can put GOD and it's God. That's revelatory. And I had great joy when I learned to read. I know that that's not true for a lot of people. So my goal was twofold. One, to help people read Lenormand, right? But the other, to sort of cleanse them of whatever traumatic experience they had before when they learned how to read, and show them that it was the method that that was used. It wasn't them. That
Yes.
everybody can do this. It's just step by step by step. And next thing you know, you're reading in this very sophisticated way, and you're feeling like you can riff, and your own meanings of the cards will come to you. And it's just a beautiful thing.
Oh, it is. It's funny you say, because sometimes literally I'll be taking notes in my notebook and I will have a moment of awe of like just these letters together and they mean something and I know how to read it and we can communicate in this way. I'm in awe of that all the time. I mean, it's incredible. But I have to say, so that was one of the things I found really interesting, because you do break things down in a very, I think, a way that anyone could understand.
That's
This
the
is how you
point.
work
You know
with
what?
it.
I've been in this divination world now for like 15 years, and I have to tell you a little trade secret
Yes.
that is not complementary to that world.
Yeah.
I think that there are a lot of people who read or write books with a particular intention, and the intention is, look what I can do.
Right.
And look what you can't do. It's
Right.
kind of like, I mean, the basic example that everybody will relate to, you go to a party and they serve this delicious hors d'oeuvre or dessert.
Yes.
And you say, oh my God, this is great. Could I have the recipe? And they're like, sure. And they give you the recipe. So you can't wait. You go home the next weekend and you try it. It doesn't taste like that because they left out an ingredient.
Right.
They did that on purpose. Right. I think a lot of people in divination, it's sort of, it's for me to know, and I've got that pipeline to do, and you don't. So, you know, cross my palm with silver, I'll help you out. But
Yes.
you can't know what I know. I think that is elitist,
Yes.
antithetical to what the work should be all about. My goal, listen, I would love it if I got on a New York City subway and saw everybody reading Lenormand.
Yeah.
For themselves or for each other, because this is an accessible tool to everyone. Is it magical? Yes. But are we also, all of us, magical beings?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this is what I wanted to ask you about this too. And that was one of the things that really heightened my interest around this. Cause I have to tell you, I'm just going to keep saying Lenormand because I've trained
That's
myself
fine.
to say
Fine.
it, but I have a couple of Lenormand decks, never opened them. And then I get your deck, and one, of course, I opened. I knew I was going to speak to you, but the deck is so beautiful. Just
Thank
for
you.
anyone that's watching on the video, I mean, look at that blue on the, ooh, it's so beautiful.
And it's a
And
beautiful case too, because
yes.
It's one of the cards on the top. Yeah, and
Yes.
I love that it goes with the color of my book. I thought that was nice.
Well, I liked it that it came with a built-in nice case, a way
Yes.
of carrying the cards. But the book really did spark my curiosity, not just about these cards, although that was part of it, but again, a different lens on how people can understand how to come into relationship with reading cards. And so I wanted to ask you about this, because with the way that you break it down, you clarify what each card means, what each card represents. Your book has very clear ways of how you can do different types of readings, all of that. But is this to you, is it intuitive as well? And have you noticed that it does, maybe your way of communication, it blends your knowing of the cards and it's intuitive? Can the card, like writer, mean something different based on who's sitting there with you?
Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of what I meant when I said that my husband said it's not childbirth.
Yes.
Now, a lot of Lenormand readers, European classically trained Lenormand readers, will tell you that intuition plays no part in the reading of Lenormand. Well, okay, if that's what you want to think, I beg to differ. So for me, yes, intuition is part of it. I'll give you a good example. It's in the book, I think. There's a card called The Mice. And the mice is a card, you know, mice nibble away bad things, right? So it's a card that that detracts from a situation. It's a card of worry, anxiety, stress. Mice, remember, are vermin, right? So it's a card for dirt, filth, disease, all of those things. But there would be times when I would do a reading and I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that doesn't fit. And what came to my mind was Cinderella, the Disney version of Cinderella. Now, if you remember, those little mice in that story started out being very bad tempered. I mean, went into each other, you know, just nasty to each other. And then they got an assignment. And the assignment was to help create a beautiful experience for Cinderella so that she could go to this ball. And all of a sudden, all of their nervous energy, freneticism, right, became channeled. And I thought, sometimes these mice mean that. It's excitement, it's freneticism, but it's channeled. Now, not always. And how do you know when? Well, it depends what cards are with it, right? If you see it with, I don't know, the scythe or the coffin or the cross, pretty sure we're talking about anxiety, stress, disease, dirt, something like that. But if you see it with, I don't know, clover and bouquet, then you have to ask yourself, you know, because it's like reading. You don't look at a card in isolation. The example I always use, and it's in the book, is about the word dog. I say the word dog, we all get the same image. We get something with a snout, you know, a body, a long body, four legs, and a tail. But if I say to you, the fluffy white dog wagged its back end so hard that I thought it was going to fall off and licked me like I was an ice cream cone, that's one kind of dog. If I say the big brown dog leapt at my throat with its fangs dripping saliva, well, what did I do? I created a whole nother picture in your mind, but it all started with the word dog. You see? So you have to look at the other cards. They will help you know where to go. Good example is the word bear, the card bear. The bear is the card for the mother. That's nice, right? Or grandmother. It's or older woman. It's the card for food. It's the card for weight issues. It's the card for financial stability, like stock investments and that kind of thing. It's also, though, the card for the narcissist. Now, not to say that a mom can't be a narcissist, because she could, but maybe she's not. Like, how do you know when to identify the card as narcissist and when to identify the card as a food?
Right.
The other cards will tell you. The other cards will tell you.
So it's so interesting you say this, because as I was looking at the cards and going through the cards, I have a couple questions for you around this. I was wondering, in all of the decks, is it similar to the system of tarot that you'll always have the same cards within the 36 cards?
Right.
And then I was also curious, there seemed to be like a theme of flowers throughout your cards.
Yes. So that's because my artist loves flowers. And I just said to her, you know, her name is Erica Peebus. She's terrific. And I just said, feel free, but I mean, not that free. So for example, we have the moon, and the moon has Datura, and Datura is a flower that only blooms in the moonlight. So, you know, let there be some rhyme or reason as to why you have a certain flower on a certain card. But beyond that, you know, go crazy. And that's what she did. So that's why that's there. I will say that with tarot, each card is full of meaning. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that do matter. So, for example, colors matter.
Right.
Which way someone's foot is positioned matters. Their astrological significances, religious significance. There's all kinds of in the single card. Here, a thing is just a thing is just a thing. You'll see lots of different beautiful Lenormand cards, but that's just a function of what an artist decided to do.
Right.
So, for example, with clouds, there's one system of reading that says, if the clouds are white over here and gray over here, the bad stuff's over here, the good stuff's over here. Well, race isn't racist much. So I just say clouds are clouds are clouds, whether it's good or bad or whatever, let the other cards dictate this. This is why tarot people have such difficulty with Lenormand, because they say to themselves, well, I'm a tarot master. I've been reading for 50 years. That's great. But if you were in China, would you say, well, I've been speaking English for 50 years. Of course I can understand Chinese. No, you can't. It's a different language. So I encourage people to, including tarotists, leave your skill set of other divination systems outside the door. I mean, I read playing cards, I read tarot as well. Leave that outside the door and then learn the rules of Lenormand. Because once you've learned them, you can bring all the systems together. One of the things that I do, I don't know if you know, is I have a Substack, and
Yes.
it's called In the Company of Cards. And so I talk about sort of current event issues, sometimes personal stuff, but I started it around the election and the George Floyd killer trial and all of that. So I try to do some prediction around things. But what I do is I use three systems. Tarot tells me what I'm going to talk about. Lenormand says, talks about, tells me what I'm going to say about that. And then I use the African Adinkra Oracle, which sums it all up. And I pull randomly. I never know what I'm going to talk about in a given week. I just let the cards decide, because I like to make the case over and over and over to myself, and then, of course, to my readers, that spirit is with you. Spirit is doing this with you. And I want to make the case that these systems can talk politely and warmly and coherently to each other, but you have to make sure that you're not letting them talk over each other. So to talk over each other would be to apply the rules of tarot to Lenormand and vice versa.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, because it does seem like a very different system. It's interesting that we have so many to choose from. I mean, you could throw reading bones in there. Any s
Right.
sort of divination, there are so many different options. And I noticed a few times you mentioned it being, it sounds like it's probably more prominent or more well known in Europe,
It's
maybe
known, you
than
know
it
what?
is.
It's known in Europe. It's known in Australia, South America. The US is the only place where it's not known so much. And hopefully my book will change that. And
Yeah.
that's why I wanted to do a book that was really good and have it be Black centered.
That's what I was about to ask you about. So I noticed that the characters within the cards, the people represented, they are Black. And I wondered, of course, because of working with other divination like tarot and oracle, there was a time where that was very uncommon. So it made me think as well, like, was this something that was uncommon within the system that even inspired you to do this?
Non-existent.
Oh,
It's
okay.
non-existent within
Yeah.
it. Now, I mean, even with tarot, there are two decks that I love. I love Courtney, what is her? Oh gosh. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I don't find the deck. I can't find it right now. But I used it all for a couple of years. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful art deck. Tarot. Courtney, do you know her work, Courtney? But it's a black deck. And then the one I'm using now, of course, that's what's top of mind, is called The Black Tarot by Neasha Williams. Love that. Love that. They're great. But in Lenormand, it's unheard of. But you know what? There are actually, quiet as it's kept, there are black Lenormand readers
Oh, okay.
out there. It's just, you know, it, well, I think the dominant culture considers it's their purview. And what I love is that my work was known before I wrote the book, right? I mean, people knew me. And so I thought, let me take that advantage and honor my people. And what I've loved is that people have actually written to me and said that they cried when they read the book. They cried when they got the deck because they see themselves represented. You know, for us, divination is second nature, I think. I mean, we come from a continent where divination is, again, second nature. So I thought it was appropriate.
Yes, and it was very exciting to see this. I'll tell you why later, just because I don't want to lose all the time with you. But aside from that, in reading the book, one of the things I love so well is the story that you tell to weave in not just your understanding, but also, again, how to simplify this for us. And it's coming to say, like, even echoing, I guess, throughout the book, what you heard your husband say in your ear. It's just woven throughout how you present everything. But there was a part in there where you told a story about street signs
Oh
and
yeah.
navigating. Yes, and I wanted to ask you about that, if you could share about that. And also, you mentioned leaving ego out when translating the language of the heavens into the language of earth, and I thought that was very beautiful as well.
Well, yeah, no. So, I've always been fascinated with words for as long as I can remember. I had a mother who read us stories, obviously, but the first time I noticed that words were more than that. Well, I was raised in New York City. And so my mother would hold my hand and go from place to place. And I thought, well, how does she know how to turn? Like, how does she know when to turn a corner or when to cross the street? And I couldn't stand it. I was three, couldn't stand myself anymore. And I pulled on her hand and I said, how do you know which way to go? And she, it was a busy street. She stopped dead in the street and smiled and squatted down and she pointed up and she said, you see those signs sticking out of those poles? She said, they see the white writing on them? She said, that writing tells me where to go. And when you're a bigger girl and you learn how to read, you'll be able to read those signs too. And I thought, ooh, oh my God. I mean, it's not just that this thing is not just about a story that puts you to sleep. It can tell you, it can help you navigate through life. So, the second I learned to read, I was reading everything, in the buses, all of the ads. And I mean, I just read everything. But I definitely credit my mother with giving me my love of language. She had a very, how can I put this? Colorful way of speaking. In some time, sometimes it was very studied and very formal. Like she would say, do you want a beverage? Now, a beverage didn't mean a glass of water or milk. Beverage only ever meant a soda. But for her, that sounded like a sophisticated word. I live, we were from Harlem and from the slums of Chicago before that. And so she, or she would say, do you want an egg omelet? And I was so tempted to say, as opposed to, but I knew better. I knew not to say that. But she could curse like a sailor when she was angry. She had a very volatile temper. And yet she had this regal presence about her at other times. And so I wanted to, we had a very complicated relationship. I left home when I was 16. But I wanted to pay homage to the fact that she's the one who gave me my love of and my fascination and my facility with language.
Yes, I mean, it really does come through the book. And I have to say this too. I hope it's not misunderstood, but reading it, even though it made me very curious and interested in Lenormand, part of me thought I would enjoy this book even if I had no interest in reading
Good.
these cards. I mean, really, truly, it's such a beautiful book. And I want to get on to some other things that you do. You mentioned, is it called Substack?
Yeah, on
Yes.
Substack, which is a platform for writers. If you're a writer or a wannabe writer, or
Right.
that's the place to be, Substack. It's a wonderful platform, and I have a blog, I guess you could call it. I don't know what you call it. I write it weekly, usually on Wednesdays. It's called In the Company of Cards, and it's where I take the three systems, Tarot, Lenormand, and Adinkra, and I talk about something going on in the world or something going on with me, always with an eye towards showing people how the systems work together and also making the case to people that if we listen and we let go, we are always guided and protected and uplifted.
Right. So your writing is inspirational. I know because I'm on the list. I get emails of the blogs that you write. But I also want to ask for people that are just curious, because a lot of times people do think, okay, like tarot or oracle, if I want to be a reader, but your story clearly shows how personal it can be for us, even if we never read for another person. But could you talk a little bit about who this really is for? And with all the people that you've worked with, how have you noticed that people can come into relationship with this to apply it to life?
I mean, I really think it is anyone, for anyone who says to themselves, I feel like there's more than just what I see with my eyes. I'm not necessarily buying what I might hear in a pew, but I wonder if there's more. This system will prove to you that there's more. You know, metaphysics and physics are two sides of the same coin, and they're coming closer and closer and closer together. So I think, you know, and anyone who likes language, certainly, anyone who has questions that are personal that they don't necessarily want to ask of their friends or relations. This can be, it's like your higher self as your best friend, as the wise older sister or brother, the wise auntie.
Yeah. That makes all the sense. And you know, there was another thing that I thought was so interesting in reading your book, and how you can read this particular system of divination is the significator. Could you talk a little bit about this card or using one, what it represents and how this could help the flow
Yes.
of readings?
So they call me the queen of the significator. I think it's pretty funny. So usually, well, in the past, when people talked about the significator in Lenormand, they meant the man or the woman card. That is your client, and so you put them on there. I thought, well, I mean, obviously that's your, I mean, isn't that kind of obvious? Like, why are we going to use a card when it's obvious? So I thought, you know what? Any card, any of the 36 can in fact be a significator. For example, now what is a significator? A significator is sort of like your focus card. What is this particular reading about? So for example, if I were doing a reading on health, the tree is the significator, because the tree is the card for health. If you wanted to take a trip and you wanted to know how it was going to go, the ship would be the card that I would use for that. If you were wondering whether you were going to get a raise or a promotion at your job, the bouquet is the card for that. So it's important to learn the meanings of the cards. But once you do, I mean, they're all nouns, right? They're all things.
Right.
So they represent what you're talking about. So when you put that card central, everything around it speaks to that issue. So for example, let's say it's the bear. Let's say you want to know about weight issues, how you can deal with your weight. The significator would be the bear or the mice, because the mice would be about weight loss, right? So let's say we take the mice and I put that central. The mice now does not mean anything but weight loss.
Okay.
It doesn't mean dirt. It doesn't mean disease. It doesn't mean nervousness. It doesn't mean excitement. It only stands for weight loss. And then you read the other cards in that context. The tree, for example, is the card for extended family and genealogy. right? But when I choose it to be health, it's not going to be genealogy and extended family. It's only going to be health.
Okay. So
So
it's,
every
it is,
card is a significator.
Yeah, everyone has the potential to be, but it's like you're giving a point of focus, a
Yes.
foundation, and then you build from there. I love that. Now, I also wanted to ask you, because you do mention 36 cards is what's standard, but your deck has 39, right? So could you share a little bit about why you have some?
Yes. So two of those cards are attributable to the fact that in the olden days, when you would do a reading, like a love reading, there's a man card and there's a woman card. But do you know how awkward it would be to say to a woman, okay, so I see you're a woman and you're in a same-sex relationship. Let's just pretend that this man card is the partner. So every modern deck has two men and two women. So that accounts for the extra. But then it's also true that in modern decks, a lot of people who are deck creators are used to doing tarot cards. Well, that's 78 cards, right?
Yes.
So when they do a Lenormand deck, they're like, wait a minute, I feel like I'm not done. Like there's, so they will add their own cards in. There's some people who do a beautiful job of this. Monica Badirsky in Canada, she does a great job with that. Some Rana George is another one who has four extra cards that I think are brilliant. But I said, you know what? I'm trying to make the case that this is a complete system in and of itself that I don't need to be messing with or adding to. But bowing to modern convention, I'm going to add one card. So this is the card. I asked my artist, create for me a set of scales. Weight them equally, and yet on one side have heavy coins and on the other side light daisies, but weigh them equally. Why is that? I said, look, even if people don't want to use my extra card, because you don't have to, you can do perfectly good readings without it, have it be at the head of your table to remind you, why are you doing this work? Are you doing it to make a buck? Now, listen, everybody has rent to pay, so no shade. Are you doing it from a place of healing? And sometimes you'll choose this, sometimes you'll choose this. Again, no shade, but know why you're doing what you're doing, right? Now, in a reading, the way that it functions is it's the card for cost-benefit analysis, right? So, you know, again, weigh your choices. Be conscious. I think we do a lot of things unconsciously. And, you know, the Buddhists would say that creates attachment. Attachment is the source of all human misery. So, you know, be present and know why you're doing or saying what you're doing or saying. And this card can be a great reminder of that.
That's beautiful. And it's funny, I actually wrote down, it's like man and woman two, and then scales addition. So I must have, as I was reading, you must have pointed that out. But yeah, I'm glad that you clarify that, so people who are familiar with the system will know why there are
I
more
don't
cards.
Have that card. I don't discuss that card in my book. But of course, every deck has a little white book that accompanies it.
Yes.
And you talk about that in the little white book.
Yes. And so that's good to point out too. The deck itself, it does come with a little white book inside of the case, but the other book that we've been talking about primarily, I mean, there's so much beautiful detail in here. You teach in this book and the deck, where can people purchase them?
So as they say, the book is available everywhere.
Yes.
But certainly Amazon, and it comes in various formats. So you can get the soft cover. You can also get it on Audible. And then what's the other format? Audible. Oh,
Kindle.
So all those forms are available, and Amazon is the best place. Some bookstores do carry it, brick and mortar. It depends on the neighborhood, or I don't know. And then the deck is available through La Panthère Studio. .com. And they have the regular size, and then we have really cute minis, which are little small cards, which are nice to have in your pocket. I mean, when I go to out to dinner, or invariably at the end of the night, people swivel their heads and they look at me because they want me to read. So I always carry in my purse, a little deck.
Deck. Oh, that's really cute. So I will make sure, of course, to put the links for how to get the book and the deck down in the show description. But I also want to make sure that people know different ways of working with you. So you have this magical salon in Canada coming up in May that people can check out. But I also want to ask you about this Lenormand for mediumship, if you could talk a little bit about what that is.
Well, in a nutshell, I mean, it's easy. Just if you use a significator, you
Ah.
can, that's how you do it. You can communicate with people who are past. Yes.
So you use a card that reminds you most of their character, or could you only use
Yes.
the
You can do
okay.
whatever you want. You can do, I mean, if I don't know anything about their character, if I know it's a grandmother, I would use the bear. If I know it's a grandfather, I would use the older man in my deck, or I would use the lily because that's a card for an older man. If it's a child who passed, I would use the child card. I mean, any card is a significator, and it's just about your intention and reading with intention.
Okay. And so, but the magical salon that's happening in Canada, is this something people can attend in person and virtually?
No, I think it's in person. However, there's another thing in Canada. It's the Kingston Tarot and Lenormand Conference, and it's a great event in Kingston, which is outside of Toronto, and that's going to be that's a much bigger event, and that's in November, the first, I think, weekend of November. But Kingston. That's the big one. I've done other events, obviously. Reader Studio in New York City, I've done. We did StarCon in Palm Beach in January. But I think I'm interested in international events mostly at this point. And I know Kingston, the November event, they will have I think they will have a virtual option.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's good. But I like to meet people one on one though, so I love reading for people individually. I do that a lot.
Can we have readings from you virtually?
Yeah,
Or,
absolutely. On
okay.
Zoom, just like this. Yeah. I read via Zoom, and I enjoy that a lot.
That's
Yeah. You
beautiful.
can find the information for that on my website, which is LenormandWithErica.com.
Yes, so that, of course, your website will be down in the show description. But I also have your Instagram at divine underscore with me, which I
Yes,
thought, I love that name.
divine with me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I will make sure that all of that is down in the description. Also, just want to point out you are an award-winning blogger. So just,
True.
I was like, this is beautiful. But I wanted to know, how long do these readings typically take? Because it is, I mean, these spreads could be huge. So do people need to
Oh,
notice
yeah.
by a long time?
No, people can contract for a half an hour or an
Okay.
hour. Yeah. And a lot can be accomplished in half an hour. You'd be
Right.
surprised. Yeah. And what I do is I use my own spread. I don't have to pull all the cards out, but I do have my own a 23 card spread that will do a deep dive in a particular area. So if you have a particular concern, all you don't have to give me the backstory, unless you want to, but I wouldn't, because then you'll say, yeah, but I told you that. So
Right.
all I need to know is the area, and then I do the reading, and then I say, let's talk about it, and then we can contextualize it and firm it up.
That's perfect. So the last thing that I wanted to ask you about is because I know for me, for example, when I read this book, I was like, wow, this is very easy to understand, easy to follow along, even when you give examples of how to do readings and these things. But I am also the kind of person, I like to take a class. I just do. I like to do these things. And you have an upcoming course that may be available in the summer. Could you talk
Yeah,
about that and who it's for?
the details of that will be coming, but I'll say this much. It's a bunch of videos, a ton of videos, where I give some introduction to the system and to who I am and all of that. Go through the cards individually, just like the book.
Right.
And then, just like the book, go through the examples of little short readings and then expand to seven cards, nine cards, the grand tableau, my spread. So, all of it's like the book, but with me talking to you.
Yeah.
There will be opportunities. It'll all be videos. And once you purchase it, you'll have it forever. But there will also be other components. So there will be times when I will go live and answer people's questions or walk people through things as well.
You just reminded me of another question that I forgot to ask you. When you're talking about earlier tarot, and sometimes I don't know, people can frame questions in such a way that even as the reader, you're like, what? What? How can we reframe this? Would you say with this particular system that there is a better way to frame questions, or is there certain topics that you would stay away from, or it's all pretty open?
That's a good question. Those are good questions. I would say that as a reader of some experience, if a sitter asks me a question that seems kind of, I will reframe it
Okay.
so that Lenormand can understand it. And I talk about that in the book a little bit about how to ask good questions. You can ask yes, no questions. And there's a great spread in my book that is not mine. It belongs to a wonderful reader named Donalee De La Rose, who has videos on YouTube. And she showed me years ago this six card yes, no spread. And it's great because, you know, do you want to do a reading and then just say, so the answer is yes. So this will give you the yes or no, but with some context and some detail. It's a very, very good spread. So that was one thing. And then you asked me something else. You just said,
are there any particular questions that you
oh, yeah,
think
yeah.
people should stay away
So
from?
I think that from a reader's perspective, unless you have training, like I went to divinity school. I did a chaplaincy residency. So I'm familiar with how to talk to people about hard things. We'll just put it that way. So, but if you're, especially if you're a new reader or unseasoned, you might want to stay away from health questions, pregnancy questions, legal questions. And, you know, you always want to give the caveat, you know, this is for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
Even though, you know, is it really? But that's the caveat.
Yes.
I do read on health. I do read on pregnancy, not legal questions so much. I don't really get those that much. Also, this is a one thing, third party reading. So as a rule, readers will often say, oh, I don't do third party readings. But I what I did was I came up with this agreement with Spirit. And the agreement is, if I do a third party reading, so for example, let's say you have a parent of an adult child that wants to know what's going on with what, well, it's none of their business, can I just say? But my agreement is, I will look, but I have asked Spirit to only show me what that adult child would be happy with this parent seeing.
Yes.
So it's interesting, some of the things that come up. So for example, I had one, this is when I was in the shop in New Jersey. This woman was her daughter, a grown daughter, and the daughter was incommunicative, we'll call it. And the mother didn't understand why, they'd always been close, et cetera. So I look at the cards and I'm like, I see that the girl is gay and the mother doesn't know. So I'm like, do I or don't I? And then I said, Erica, you have that agreement. So I tell her, show her where I find this in the cards. And she said, oh, I knew that. I said, but does she know that you know that? She goes, we've never discussed it. I said, here's what you do. You go home and you said, I know this sounds crazy, but I went to a reader and she told me da 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 and encouraged me to talk to you about it because you're a higher self. wants my higher self to talk to your. And the following week, she came back and hugging me, brought me flowers because it had been a wonderful conversation. It had been the elephant in the room. The girl didn't know how to say, but of course, you know, parents tend to know anyway. It's just something that hadn't been talked about, but it opened the door for conversation. Sometimes, you know, I had one. This was I was doing a charity event, so it was very loud, right? And it was sort of a very upbeat atmosphere. People had drinks and whatever. And a woman came over to me, very well dressed. She sits down. It was a health reading. So I'm looking at the cards and I'm like, so I said, did you just come from a doctor's appointment? Yes. Is this for something that is a recurrence? Yes. And did you get a not so good prognosis? Yes. So we're talking about cancer. She got, and so I saw that it was terminal. And so again, I put on my chaplain hat, right? So, because everybody can't do this.
Right.
And I talked about the fact that she had teenagers at this point. And I said, you know, we're all going to die. Nobody gets out of here alive. But it's also true that not all of us get an opportunity to teach someone something about how to do it so that who we leave behind doesn't feel scared. And I said, you have that chance. And even if you are scared, you have an opportunity to navigate that with those kids so that they can feel like they can move on through their lives with the memory of that. And then when their time comes, because guess what? It will.
Right.
They can have the peace of knowing, you know. And she hugged me really hard. And meanwhile, you know, the music's playing and the glasses are clinking. And I went and I did the event the next year, and she had passed. I had another one. This was in the shop. Man comes to me. He had on a big bulky jacket. And he said, I have a question for you. And if you answer this question right, I have a surprise for you. And I thought, what's your surprise? Just give me the money. Don't give me the surprise. But anyway, health. He too had cancer. I saw that he had, he was an older man. I saw he had not a wife, a woman companion, girlfriend. And that the plan was to go to somewhere warm, I thought probably Florida, and spend a lot of time watching sunrises and sunsets, and that she would be with him at the end, and that it would be a beautiful end. So I say all that, and I'm like, geez, you know, I hope, because I mean, what if I'm completely off, right?
Right.
He reaches into his coat, and I didn't see his coat moving at all. And he pulls out the most beautiful little bird, like a real bird that had been just sitting in his pocket. And it was his little pet bird of many colors. And he said, you can, the gift was that I could pet the bird. And he said, thank you. He said, everything you said is right.
Wow.
So, you know, we don't have to feel like we always have to pretty everything up and make everything tied with a bow, but we do have to know how to say things to people. Because I knew a reader once who said, you know, I know I've done a good reading when my sitter cries. What? What? See, that's like that power play of look what I can do that you can. I don't believe in that. I don't like that. And that's why I wrote the book, because, you know, if nothing else, you can be your own reader.
Right.
You
well,
know?
I love that. I mean, that's how I got into cards. I started with Oracle. I was only reading for myself at first, but then it was so exciting. I was like, anyone who would let me, my friends, and I would carry the cards in my purse. But something in listening to your story, what it really did bring up is how uncomfortable truths can bring the most comfort. But it
That's
is
right.
delivery is key, of course,
Agreed.
And using your discernment of what's appropriate and when. But it is so interesting that oftentimes those things we would have such like a reservation around or think, oh, this might upset the person even more. But it's exactly what they needed to hear.
When I first started to read in the shop, and I had a lot of experience reading online at that point and in person with friends, I went into the shop and I noticed that the other readers all got there like an hour early to set up their room with their crystals and their kit. And I'm like, I'm missing something, but okay. I mean, I just went in there with my deck. I didn't know. So then I said, okay, so now I was getting ready to be my very first client in the shop. And I said, Erica, what are you going to do if the person asks you a question and you lay the cards and you look at them and then you have to say to the sitter, I don't know, beats the hell out of me. What do you see? And I started laughing because I knew that that would never happen. Why does it never happen? Because I am not doing this from a place of ego and I'm not doing this by myself. Spirit, I holds my hand the whole time. And if you come from that place and you listen and you don't censor yourself, you don't censor the information,
Right.
your readings will become rich and full and really healing to people.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that again, going back to even what you wanted to be, even as a younger person, it seems like this is all just centered around healing in so many ways. And I wanted to ask you that as well with this, with your creation of the book and the deck that you've put out to the world, what would you hope that people get from this or that people may find in this work or in these cards?
I would say again that they are not alone.
Yeah.
That's the main thing, that that spirit has a sense of humor, that spirit is warm and loving, and that we carry divinity within us.
Right.
That just from the garbage man to the CEO, maybe not 45, but the rest of us carry divinity within us. And it's our job to, I mean, sometimes it's not necessarily that obvious. It's our job. This is why we're here, is to dig deep and find it and then be that light in the world to other people. That's why we're here.
Yeah. And I mean, even to the point of what you just said, too, I mean, the truth isn't always comfortable or pretty, but what comes through for us is always for us to support us on our paths and our
Right.
way forward. So I have to thank you again so much for coming to have this conversation, Miss Erica. Anyone who wants to learn more about Lenormand, even if, I mean, honestly, again, like I said, I would just read the book, even if I was someone into any kind of divination or curious how to work with any form of cards. But your deck itself is beautiful. I just want
Thank
to show
you.
again, I love blue. It's more like an indigo, but it's gorgeous. And the book, go to your website, her website, and also follow her on Instagram. So we have Lenormand with Erica.com. It'll be in the description. And on Instagram, we have divine underscore with me.
That's right.
Thank you very, very much. Don't forget about the upcoming events as well. And all of that you will find on her website. And if you're in Canada, you want to go and check those out. Thank you, and we'll see everyone next time. Bye for now. Okay, beauties, I just first of all want to say thank you again to Erica for coming to share her insights and stories and wisdom with us. I learned a lot, especially about this system of divination, Lenormand, that I was not very familiar with before. As I mentioned in the intro, her deck is really beautiful, and we didn't really show it within the interview. But if you are watching, these are what the cards look like. They are very colorful. And as she mentioned, they are simple in that they are just each card is a thing, but the definitions and the meanings of them are beautifully expressed within her book. So you can check out Erica and her work again at Lenormand with Erica. That's Erika.com. Follow her on Instagram at divine with me. Well, it's divine underscore with me. And you can also learn more on her blog, which is ericalenormand.substack.com. So I hope you enjoyed this conversation. Of course, we have more coming up for you here on Reiki Radio. If you have any suggestions of conversations, topics, or people you would like to have as a guest, be sure to email me or let those people know to reach out to me to be a guest on the show. Don't forget to go to my website, theenergeticalchemist.com, if you would like to learn more about my work. Also, if you're interested in learning Reiki with me, level 1 and 2 in San Diego in September, I would love to meet you. Information is on my website. Have a beautiful day, loves, and remember to always journey in love.